Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Tonight, we're going to talk about the mental fluidal powers. I'm going to play a few clips concerning current events, and then we'll talk on Might of the Thoughts and Atlantis and Lemuria, all the information that I discuss on the show, just about all of it, comes from Edward Albert Meyer, Billy Meyer, an 80-year-old man in Switzerland who has written about 50 books now on various subjects, one of which is the tremendous power of our thinking. And one topic that goes along with the tremendous power of our thinking is fluidal powers, something called, these are mental energies that will rest in things around you. So we have what are called mental fluidal powers. These are the personal emanations of swinging waves and energies of human beings. So when you think, you're putting out something called a swinging wave. And these will, swinging waves, your thoughts will deposit into objects, into books, clothing, jewelry. This energy also affects your skeleton. And in a sense, your character is actually deposited into objects around you over time. So your thoughts, your swinging waves, this energy that comes from the brain, is associated to your personality, to your psyche, to your feeling and thoughts. And again, they're deposited in the clothes you wear, in the furniture that you use and sit on, and to the walls and to the trees near your house. The energy of the mind goes into everything around the human. And the human can only perceive these fluidal powers in what's called a fine-feeling way. If you have a piece of clothing, you may have a piece of clothing that makes you feel good. I have one. I have a sweatshirt on right now. For some reason, this sweatshirt makes me feel good. Don't understand why. Well, maybe I do. It's that I've deposited many positive swinging waves into this item. So these positive energies that are deposited in items which surround the human being, it makes the human being in like a world of his own. It provides a sense of security to him or her. When a person enters a house, they can immediately feel attracted or repelled. And the swinging waves of the people that live in the house, remember, their mental energies, their thoughts are deposited into the walls and the beams of the house. Like I said earlier, a specific piece of clothing might build up a lot of positive, healthy, fluidal energies. If you have jewelry, be careful, because if you have a ring, don't store it in a purse, because that ring can pick up the fluidal energies of other things. So be very careful about things like that, because the power of your thoughts are stored in things all around you. Even bones that have been chewed by animals have these fine fluidal energies of the animal that did the chewing. Now, sometimes people see apparitions, and apparitions, according to Meyer information, are the fine fluidal power, which is made mobile by the unconsciousness or the subconsciousness of some person. Typically, the person is not aware at all that they are causing these apparitions. And the process takes place either subconsciously or unconsciously. In the United States, about 4 p.m. every afternoon, a ghost of a girl about 10 years old would appear in this house The child would sing and walk around the house. It would go to the garden and walk around. The child was actually an old lady. So the old lady would take a nap in her armchair every day at about 4 p.m. And during that nap, a strong memory of her childhood would kick up. And she would start to dream of living in this house when she was younger. And she was unconsciously activating the fetal powers that were stored in the house, the powers of her thoughts. And this ghost was actually the mental fetal powers of the older lady, these fetal powers which had been stored in the house over many years. Now, if you've listened to this show before, you know Edward Albert Meyer. He's 80 years old. He lives in Switzerland, about 45 minutes east of Zurich, in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidt-Rudi. And in Hinterschmidt-Rudi in the early years, a shadowy figure would dart around the house and end up making noises in the attic. When someone would switch the light on in the attic, there would be silence. There were fluidal powers that were stored in the house. The more liable a person is, meaning the more easily aroused the person is, the more likely these kinds of things can happen. Sometimes water and fire can be used to rid a house of the fluidal energies, but of course this can cause damage. So, these pure thoughts swinging waves arise from thoughts themselves. But what I've been talking about are the fluidal energies. And the fluidal energies arise out of the entire mental block. Pure thoughts swinging waves, they can have great power as well. And these mental swinging waves, they can be stored in objects for thousands of years. But the thought swinging waves do not deposit in objects. So there's a difference. So the fluidal energies rise out of the entire mental block, as it's called, the subconscious, the unconscious, the conscious. If you just have the swinging wave of a conscious thought, it will not deposit into things around it. So it takes also the subconscious and unconscious to activate the fetal powers. Now, churches and monasteries are places where these swinging waves and fetal powers are stored. So imagine a church that's been around for centuries, a monastery. People go into these churches and they're in great anguish, like during funerals because a loved one has died, and you have 30, 40 people very sad in a church. All that negative energy is stored in all the furniture in there, in the walls, in the roof, and everything. And then the next day, there's a funeral for someone else, and then the next day, a funeral for someone else. And people come to these monasteries with big problems on their mind, and they pray about it, and they're fretting, and all these negative fluidal powers are dangerous. These fluid energies contain very strong negative powers that can impact people in a dangerous way. And a human being that is sensitive to these swinging waves can be very negatively affected, because a lot of times, the energy that's stored in these structures is very negative. It's degenerated. And these energies sometimes overpower people that are oriented to the truth. Now, if you're a certain kind of person that is very religious, you'll become even more enslaved in your thinking. A human being that is oriented towards the truth, on the other hand, can be very damaged and can even be killed just by going into these monasteries. So avoid these old monasteries. They are very, very dangerous. The information that I just quickly covered are on YouTube. If you look up Fluidal Energies, there's a guy from FIGU named Michael Utterbrook, who made these videos. They're very good. They have nice, relaxing music. You can listen to them while you do other things, but your subconscious will pick up on this information. And it can be very something that I think you will enjoy. If you Google that and take a look at that, see if you can find that on YouTube. I am going to step forward just a little bit and play a few clips. Some of these are by David Icke, who I think has some good things to say in terms of what's going on with the global elite and the New World Order. And I'll just try to cover a few little things and we'll get back on track here. Take just a second to kind of cue these clips up. It takes a little time sometimes when they first start. But I can, in the meantime, give a little more background information on Billy for maybe the new listeners. And it's always even good to chat about with some of the people who have been around a while. So Billy Meyer, his extraterrestrial contacts started around 1945 with a man named Spoff, who was an extraterrestrial human who initially started out having telepathic contact with Billy and eventually landed his pear-shaped craft in Switzerland. Let's listen to David Icke and I'll get back to the story about Spoff.
Plummeting catastrophically to the point where the lead researcher was saying that if it continues like this, then there is a threat to the human race itself. Dot number two is this one, article in a British newspaper, 800 children as young as 10 given sex change drugs. And of course, we've had this explosion of focus in this whole arena we call transgender in recent times. And the third dot, one that might not seem to be connected at all, is this one. Will robots destroy us? This is a report, again, widely reported around the world, of this spat between two of these high-tech Silicon Valley moguls, Mark Zuckerberg, the T-shirt at Facebook, and Elon Musk, a co-founder of PayPal, and one of the leaders in this whole transhumanist high-tech arena. And they have very different views on the dangers or benefits of artificial intelligence. So there's three dots which would not appear on the surface to be connected. Like I say, two of them in particular. But let's start off with this collapse in sperm counts. This was a study, like I say, of 43,000 men. And what they did was pull together nearly 200 other studies and did an analysis of them. And they were basically focused in the Western world countries of North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. And they found a 59.3% decline in total sperm count in.
Hey, let's get going. We have a very special hour for you. David Icke is with us, and as you know, all of you know, David has written some of the most magnificent and important books of our times, of practically all times, because many of the things David has talked about and identified, of course, have been used throughout organized social history to control and command and exert utter hegemony over humanity. That's what they do. The book is probably going to be an instant bestseller. It should be. It is entitled, and you can find it on the left-hand side of Rents. Just look up there. You'll see a banner for it. You can click and pre-order. Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told. That is a great title. I wrote an email to David when I found out that he had a new book coming out, and I didn't know any of the Google, Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo, YouTube, PayPal, and a half dozen others run the internet now. Well, they're private enterprise, and they can take you off and censor you if they want to, because it's not a government agency. It's not protected by the Constitution. It's a free enterprise. Look, the big deal, of course, is the individual absolute addiction to smartphones. We've all seen it. I won't go into it. These people who use them can't put them down. If they're not holding them in their hand, they begin to go into withdrawals. No, I'm not kidding. It goes on and on from there. This is the new world order. This is the most original, technologically brilliant means of control of mass humanity that I could ever imagine seeing. And it's only going to get much more intense, much more complete. And just wait until they turn AI loose on all of us. And maybe on themselves. We shall see. Hello, David. Welcome back.
Morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Yes. So the book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told. And when we mentioned this, you said, I've got it all covered in.
For some time now. And that theme, and it's has so many facets and so many faces, can be summed up in one word, perception. Perception is the key to everything. And this whole web of control is focused entirely on perception. When there's a few of you, and compared with the global population, it is a few we're talking about, a ridiculous, staggering, shockingly few, you cannot control people physically, or you can start to build technological structures that can do that. But on the road to that, you can't control people physically on the scale of the population. So you have to control their perception, because once you've got their perception, you're controlling what they think, what they don't think, what they support, what they don't support, what they challenge, what they don't challenge. And every aspect of human behavior comes from perception. And so how do we get perception? We get it from information received. Now, this can be anything from a personal experience to the 10 o'clock news. But of course, the vast majority of people in the world are getting their information, thus forming their perceptions, from the equivalent symbolically of the 10 o'clock news. And so if you look at the way that people form their perceptions and the information which gets them to do that, we're looking at the media up to this point in terms of print and television, radio.
Well, rarely, probably never, has that Orwell quote been more appropriate than now. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. We are seeing a war on everything alternative. Alternative health, on alternative information in every form. And we are seeing this headed under this demonization phrase called fake news. Now, of course, if you want to see fake news, then just read the mainstream media decade after decade after decade. That is not to say there is not so-called, not really, but claimed to be, alternative sources that put out fake news. They do. And I'm going to be giving you a, in my opinion, a shocking example and classic example of that.
Okay, David Icke, covering a few topics I just wanted to also touch on very quickly. Lower sperm counts. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. A lot of causes there. Something I want to study in a little more detail. Could be a blessing, could be a disaster, depending on how things go. The other thing is transgenderism. One of the things the elite want is they do not want, they want basically a sexless society, a genderless society. So they're pushing this transgender thing, which also I think is related to overpopulation, because as the Meyer material says, it takes a certain amount of time on the spiritual side in order to develop maleness and to develop independence. And because spirit forms are being pulled back into physical bodies too soon, the male characteristics in the mentality are not being formed properly. And this goes right along with the global elite, who wants a cashless society, a one-world government, a microchip population. So the less male, the better. The less physical resistance, the better. They want a very docile, very controlled public. And this goes on to something Billy has talked about, which is the transhumanistic movement. He calls them the rise of the robot people in Contact 251, people who will have their arms and legs removed intentionally and attached to electronic devices. We're being moved very slowly towards that. They've got wearables now, you know, electronic things like phones and things you can wear. They want to get it to the point where they can implant it under the skin. Then they'll have the microchip, which you won't be able to buy or sell without a microchip. They're getting rid of a cash in society. Sometimes this is called the totalitarian tiptoe. And the fake news, excuse me, the smartphones, let me talk about them real quick. People are so addicted to their cell phones now, they can't even leave the house with them. They have to have them on all the time. It's a weird psychological thing that's going on, and we'll talk about some of the attacks that are going on now subconsciously. And one of these attacks is the fake news, blatantly wrong news, so people can't tell the difference between what's real and what's not, so they just give up, and then they succumb to just going along with probably the fakest news out there, which is in the mainstream media. So I wanted to just quickly cover a few things there that David Icke talks about somewhat. You know, I know a lot of people interested in the Meyer material probably would be very negative on David Icke. I think you take the good that you can from people, and that's I think he's spot on when it comes to the global elite. Now, I wanted to finish up on some of these concepts that we just brought up, and I wanted to talk about the subconscious attack on human beings. So, here on the Earth, there is a religious organization that works with one of the secret services to manipulate people via televisions, and a lot of these televisions now have devices embedded into them which will look back at the people in the room. So they're literally surveilling people using the television. And Billy has even been affected by such things. It says it's even affected his writings. Televisions and computers are being steered, and this religious organization and the Secret Service is affecting people's behavior in a negative way. Some of Billy's writings that deal with religious and sectarian delusion have been affected by these impulses. So people are being manipulated via television and computers, and this time of the year, when these crazy sales start on Black Friday, you can see people sitting out in these lines that go on for hundreds and hundreds of yards out in the cold, you know, 4 or 3 in the morning, waiting to buy the next thing. Well, some of this is because of these impulses that are coming through the PC and the smartphones and the televisions. The entire internet is dominated by vibration impulses, which are taken up by people's subconsciousness. And these impulses steer people unconsciously to become violent, to become terrorists, or become very religious. So there are a whole group of people now that cannot control their thoughts. So that's why, one of the reasons why I like to spend a lot of time in this book called The Might of Thoughts. We think that we're acting according to our own will. However, many times we're being steered. It takes a very clear conscious to not be steered by these impulses. There's great discord on the earth, and people have bad behavior in part because of these impulses and in part because of the disharmonious music. I know I sometimes think I won't even go to my gym anymore because of the disharmonious music in there. It is really, it wears on me very, very much. So we have two very important books, one called The Might of Thoughts and the other called The Way to Live. Both of these books are critical to living a successful life. And The Might of Thoughts book is very, very important because we are a people, as Elizabeth Mooseberger has said, we are a people that are ill in our consciousness, the people of the earth. And the book is dedicated to helping us find our way back to thinking independently and to being neutral positive. So all your thoughts should be neutral positive. It's the neutral positive thoughts that lead to the good circumstances in your life. If you're not steering your thinking, then you're most likely having subconscious and unconscious thoughts which are going to lead you to being asarget or asartung or out of control of the good human nature. So we want to think independently and we want to choose neutral positive thoughts. Remember, the neutral positive thought is like the following. And this is my mantra that I've developed from studying all these different categories in this book, and I think I got a new one to add to it. I'm confident. These are neutral positive. I'm confident. I'm optimistic. I'm relaxed. I'm cheerful. I'm enthusiastic. I'm thankful. I'm in harmony. I persevere. I endure. I persist. I am calm. I'm satisfied. And maybe this is a very important one that I just read this morning. I have hope. A lot of people don't have a lot of hope, and they get overcome by the negative things that are going on in the world. It's so important to have hope because a human being is the forger of their own fortune. So we want to think good thoughts, and good thoughts are like the good plants in my garden. So visualize beautiful green plants, tomatoes, cucumbers, and green peppers, and all these beautiful plants in your garden, strawberries. Have that visualization And that's one of the keys to thinking in a neutral, positive way, is holding on to these positive visualizations. The good items in your garden are like your good thoughts. You want to clarify your good thoughts. You want to practice these good thoughts. You want to have patience. And to clarify means to make less confused. Remember when I just identified all these neutral positive thoughts like confidence and optimism and cheerfulness and relaxed? These will help to eliminate impure thoughts. Because it's the negative and impure thoughts that are eliminated in order to obtain space for the neutral, positive thoughts. What did Emmanuel have to say about this? He said, everything within the human being that is human, every human, everything human within the human must die. But everything of creation within them must rise and embrace creation. Human beings have to learn to yank out those negative thoughts. Remember, we're talking about the garden analogy. Those weeds are not from creation. Pull those weeds out. Your consciousness is like a garden. Do not allow the wildly growing weeds to be maintained. Pull those out. Throw them out of your garden. These weeds produce negative repeating thoughts. Do not allow them to repeat, because you're building pathways in your brain that can lead to a very, very unhealthy state. So I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful, I'm in harmony, I persist, I persevere, I endure, I am calm, I am satisfied, I have hope. So by doing this, you become the Lord and Master of yourself. You practice self-cognition. What you think, you make real. My good, positive, neutral positive thoughts create good circumstances in my life, and I'm the master of my own destiny. Good thoughts lead to good feelings. Good feelings lead to good habits. Good habits produce good circumstances in your life. If you end up in the gutter, it's not because of some kind of tyranny. Now, we do go through these very, very difficult times sometimes. And one of the most important things during these times is learning to steer your thoughts. If you steer your thoughts, it lead to inner freedom and good circumstances in your life. I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. There was a prayer created by Henoch who says, do not throw me into confusion and delusion, but release me from my misunderstanding. Your thinking can rotate around an addiction in an everlasting circle. So be careful about addictions to certain desires, cravings for things, drug addictions, of course. Unconscious thoughts. Be careful. We have thoughts we don't even realize we're having. And these unconscious thoughts can bring about unconscious realities in your life that you weren't aware of. And many times, suffering is related to some form of wrong thinking in your life. So keep that in mind. Always search for harmony in your thinking. Think of pushing out the impurities in your thoughts. And do not allow self-created suffering. Wrong thoughts result in self-created suffering. Now, those rotating thoughts are a perfect example of this. So you need to control your thoughts. I need to control my thoughts. Controlling your thoughts leads to good feelings. Because if you have a negative thought, it often leads to a negative feeling. So analyze your thoughts. Also, know the difference between a feeling and an emotion. Because emotions erupt suddenly without control. And these emotions can create thoughts as well. So be careful about anger and rage, because anger and rage come from emotion. And there's a difference between the two. I think rage is a little more dangerous. Anger and rage often harm the liver. So we need to learn to protect our bodies from our thoughts, because anger and rage can lead to cancer cells being created, particularly in the liver, the hepatocytes that can cause cancer cells. Emotions are reactions. Emotions can create thoughts. Feelings occur because of thoughts. Emotions arise spontaneously, and they're hard to bring into control. They arise so quickly. They cannot be steered. Emotions are reflexive, spontaneous, while feelings tend to grow out of your thoughts. We also have unconscious thoughts. Beware when you have flattened feelings. These can be leading to depressions. Sometimes the negative thoughts stabilize and harden. Be careful about that. Don't let that happen. You must learn to think positively. Remember, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful, I'm in harmony. Depression is a low mood. Be careful of this thing that Billy calls flattened feelings. And these unconscious thoughts and feelings generate unconscious physical reactions. The unconscious is really your first interaction with reality, with the physical world. You touch your hand on a hot stove, it's your unconscious mind that pulls the hand back. Your conscious mind doesn't work that quickly. Your unconscious mind also is kind of a pre-processing. It determines what should happen next. Should this information be passed on to the conscious or to the subconscious? If it's something very profound, the information is often pushed on to the subconscious. If it's something critical, like you're burning your hand on a hot stove, the unconscious mind will take care of that right away. Askew, one of Billy's contacts, his second mentor, said that often humans can be an unconscious deceiver of himself. The unconscious mind can also affect your human body. The stigmata, these strange things that appear on people's bodies, the wounds of Christ as they're called, these are coming from the unconscious mind. The unconscious and subconscious are very powerful. That's where these apparitions come from. when our minds stimulate these fine fluidal energies, our minds are incredibly powerful. Now, feelings come from the thoughts, and you shouldn't really stifle or eliminate your feelings. They shouldn't be forced. They shouldn't be fought. And we also need to learn the difference between the feelings and the emotion. The feelings go slowly. They rise slowly. And they are associated with preceding thought processes. Emotions sometimes can be sparked by fear, anger, automatic thoughts. This is one of the biggest things I think I freed myself from by studying this book, is automatic thoughts. At least the negative automatic thoughts. This is one of the most difficult things to break out of, the automatic rotating negative thoughts. If you have to listen to music, that can help a lot. Good music, harmonious music. Take a walk. Visualize a very good time in your life. A wish dream, that can help break the automatic thoughts. They operate automatically. They throw your psyche into a turmoil. It is the automatic thoughts which are the critical point, because through them, the feelings are disturbed, and also the psyche. It's the automatic thoughts which disturb the psyche. So look and check your feelings. Are my feelings disturbed? Oh, my feelings are disturbed. That tells you you had an automatic negative thought. This is a sign that you've entered into a kind of thinking that is not good for the psyche. If you have a negative feeling, like lack of hope, this can be an indication that you've started down a path of wrong thinking. So we need to break the pattern of the uncontrolled automatic thoughts. This can be done through meditation, having the mental strength to focus on something else, going out into nature. This is a bad habit, these repeating thoughts. These thoughts created a distorted reality. You can become unsatisfied by your negative repeating thoughts. This can lead to depression. And sometimes we can think of problems unconsciously. We all have problems in our life that can generate this kind of automatic unconscious thinking, so we need to examine which conscious or unconscious attitudes are causing our behavior. This is challenging because the conscious or unconscious ideas are not always immediately recognized. Sometimes it can be helpful to even create a diary of thoughts and feelings. I haven't done that, but that sounds pretty darn interesting. Because I know some days I just had such good feelings, and I surely would like to figure out why I was in such a good mood that day, why I continued the whole day I was focused, why I had this great sense of security and all of these good thoughts. So be careful that you're thinking good thoughts. Good thoughts lead to good feelings. Good feelings lead to good habits. One of the good habits that I've come into over time is the reading of the Might of Thoughts book in the morning. It's funny the way things work out like that. It's not that I've really planned it that way either. One of the most important things regarding problems, errors, and difficulties is the stance which you adopt. The right stance determines the form, the way you approach the problems. Sometimes approaching a problem in a very neutral way with you just don't care. Just take whatever happens. Think in a neutral, positive way. Just I mean, think good thoughts, but don't, you know, we have a lot of thoughts which we bring to the table which we're not realizing. Dismantle things down to the facts so you can solve the secrets in order to gain a progressive result. So get rid of the anxiety by learning the facts. Dismantle things to the existing facts. So you want to maintain enthusiasm and do not be overwhelmed by anxiety. Anxiety is something you need to get to the bottom of. And if you remove the unknowns, then you can control the anxiety. You beat anxiety with your intellect. So these are some things you can apply to your daily life. That's what's so important about this material. It's really a matter of survival. And one thing that is very important, I think, to think about is our past. And what I mean by that is we all have a past that's much bigger than what you realize. The average spirit form on the earth, I believe, is about 4 million years old. So that means, what does that mean? That means, remember, we have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. Your spiritual consciousness is related to that needle point of energy in the middle of your brain called the superior colliculus. That's a fragment of the universal consciousness. That's the real you. It's part of you that never sleeps, that never dies. It's the part of you that reincarnates. Now, according to Meyer information, the people that Billy had contact with, Edward Albert Meyer, were called the Pleiarans. And the Pleiarans say that our forefathers were their forefathers. In the oldest branch of the human race that the Pleiarans have detailed information about is the Lyrians. And even Billy's first mentor, Svath, talked about the Lyran system when Billy was younger. And the Lyrians first settled in our galaxy. Well, they settled in a different space-time configuration, which I've been thinking about that. There are different space-time configurations in our universe, the Meyer material says. 7 different space-time configurations. I think of them as rooms. That's easier for me to understand. So in this house that we call our universe, there are 7 different rooms. And they're not really all about frequencies. You have to go through the door into the next room to go to the different space-time configuration. So the Lyrians settled in Lyra Vega, near the Ring Nebula. The Ring Nebula is in the northern constellation of Lyra. It's a shell of ionizing gas which is surrounding a medium red giant star, which is passing into the last stage of its evolution before it becomes a white dwarf star. Now, in Contact 238, the Ring Nebula was described as created by a king of wisdom who actually blew up a planet. And they look at the Ring Nebula and they named it, these Lyrians did, J-H-W-H Mata. And Billy saw this Ring Nebula fairly close up. And he described it when he was on their mothership as looking like a gigantic eye staring at him in space. And in Contact Report 31, line 156, Ptah said, "It is for us a symbol of evil lust for power and domination, a symbol of hate, destruction, human madness, that in contrast to other similar natural formations is the work of man. In Contact Report 238, line 692, it says, not only that an Ishwish, God slash King of Wisdom, created the Ring Nebula in his megalomania, which has since been named the Eye of God, but his most distant descendants finally came to the earth and terrorized the world here, and so on, which at any rate, as a rough measure, happened about 389,000 years ago. So about 389,000 years ago, the people from Lyra Vega came to the earth, and they abused the native earth peoples, who they called Evas. Eva meaning to bear, because they had to bear the suffering that these kings of wisdom, quote-unquote wisdom, did, and they abused the native earth people. They raped them and disfigured them. And another group from Lyra Vega came to the earth and put a stop to it and said, wait, you people have committed great crimes here, so we're going to take your technology away and we're going to leave you on the earth. And the planet you die on, according to creational natural law, is the planet that you reincarnate on. So there are people from Lyra Vega that are here today. And they were under a codex, which is no longer in operation now, but they were supposed to help the people of the earth with their evolution to undo some of the damage that was done. Slightly, on a slightly different topic. Our solar system, by the way, has a twin star called a dark star, which is about 10 times smaller than our sun. And this dark star rotates around our solar system. It's about a light year or so away, and it has a long orbit. It takes quite some time for it to come around. Now, these people from Lyra Vega, and I'm slowly trying to work my way to Leonis and Lemuria. I don't think we're going to make it today, but Valyrians, you can trace them back to 110 million years ago when they were on a planet named Kados in a galaxy called the Nigerian or the Nigerian Galaxy, which was 6.3 billion light years away from the Earth, which is, that's so far, I can't even imagine. So this galaxy was literally near the end of its life, so these people from Lyra Vega left the Nigerian Galaxy, and they came to the Lyran Galaxy. So, in about 26 million years ago, the Lyrians left the Lyran Galaxy, and they came to our Milky Way galaxy, but in a different space-time configuration. So they stepped through a doorway into kind of another room, so to speak. Makes it a little simpler, some ways to understand. The first extraterrestrials who came to the Earth were not the Pleiaren, but humans from worlds that exist within another dimension in the area of Lyra Vega systems. And the first Lyrians with the first Vegans came to the Earth about 22 million years ago. Their stay was very brief, and then they went to other star clusters and planets. This is kind of, we don't know a lot about what happened there. They came back about 389,000 years ago, and several million of these Lyrians and Vegans left their native worlds, entered into our space-time configuration, came to the Earth. They procreated in both a normal manner and through manipulation of genes by genetic engineers. So they created humans that were part animal, giants, titans, and others. Some of these Lyrians were themselves fairly large, and they had very advanced weapons. The weapons were of great power and fighting efficiency. In consequence, which fights against whole nations of strange worlds were very short and one-sided. The Lyrians took over other worlds very quickly with these powerful weapons that they had. And the Lyrians came to our system, but they had a big problem. There was something called the Destroyer Comet that used to rip through their system, and at one point it wiped out about two-thirds of their civilization. And it took them centuries to gain back their technologies. Many, many years. When the Lyrians first came to the Earth, many of the Earth humans were dark-skinned. The flight machines used by the Lyrians of this time were saucer-like and they had a beam drive. And these beam drive propulsion systems are discussed in Contact Report 4, Line 30. And they flew out into the widths of the universe using these beam systems. One of these kings of wisdom of the Lyrians who left Lyra Vega and came to the Polaris system was a guy named Asael. And this occurred about 230,000 years ago. This man was an Ishwish, a king of wisdom. Just like Ptah and Pelagon are also Ishwishes. So the Ishwish power, the incredible power of their material consciousness, was not controllably mastered, and sometimes they would use it for wicked purposes. And these Ishwishes were sometimes would take these people to war. And there were three worlds of the Lyra system that were simply eliminated and dissolved using these weapons. So there was a liberation war that took place in the Lyra Vega systems about 230,000 years ago, and Asael, this king of wisdom, eventually led hundreds of thousands of Lyrians to escape Lyra, and they came to the Plearan system, and they settled on a planet named Era. And I think there were some other planets in that system, Lucetta and Ascal, they also settled in. And it took about 300 years to terraform some of these planets. Era is in a different space-time configuration than Earth. And it looks like... folks, I cannot believe it, but we're about out of time. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great afternoon.